There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Let's welcome Nick Rago to the studio. Tech Radar is where he is. If you have a tech question, something to do with your phone, can't work out why it won't go silent, whatever it is, Nick will probably have
He loves answer. That question.
He does, yeah.
I try.
Yeah,
I try.
You do. Welcome back. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you. I mean, it's been a while, and you left me in the crowd. Horrible grasps of Natalie and LaTayla. She was just very mean on air and just not letting me have a word in edgewise.
And she asked you about gifts that you'd received, like your KitchenAid mixer.
Personally interrogating me on the air, is what I would say.
Just how it goes. We'll be kinder to you, Nick. Was your New Year, was it festive and fun?
It was lovely, surrounded by friends and family and a lot of loves and a lot of special gifts and everything. And it was really good. I really enjoyed myself.
Any good tech for Christmas? Did you get anything that's changed your life?
Yes, it was a mixer.
Food and tech combined in perfection.
The best part about all my friends and family is they know not to get me tech things because
you've got it all.
I've got it all, and I always know the best ones to get, and I'll buy them myself. So they never look to buy me tech things. They'll always buy me something that is food related because they know that's what I love as well. So the way to my heart is through food, clearly.
Do you know what I learned this year? I'm at the stage now where my mum will buy loads of stuff for my kids, and it's great, and that's really nice. Bit too much, to be honest, but you know, grandparents do that for their grandkids, don't they? But what she buys me is underwear, and I'm at the stage in my life now where I think, oh great, I can't wait, because it basically I stock up once a year. It's honestly, it's like that. That's what happens when you get to my age. So look forward to that, Nick Rager.
I think I'll pass.
Yeah, I thought you might. So look, rubbish Kickstarter today. We'll start with this because you sent this through earlier. The second of your choices today that you sent through. The first one we
couldn't talk about on air, but
we
discussed on Twitter.
Oh dear, unbelievable. Worried you're not getting enough oxygen?
Rubbish Kickstarters.
So this is a way of bringing oxygen and being hydrated.
Yes, all in one.
That's got to be good, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, depends on how you look at it, really.
Right.
This is the Aquagen. See what they did? Aqua and oxygen, Aquagen.
Clever.
That's the Aquagen. It's the water and breathable oxygen on the go. So for all the people out there that are carrying around their water bottles when it's, you know, going to the office or going to the gym, whatever, throw them away because this is the ultimate water bottle. You don't need anything else besides this. Because in addition to keeping you hydrated, okay, are you ready? Yeah. Are you guys sitting down? In addition to keeping you hydrated by just drinking regular water, it has a special side capsule that has up to 25 pumps of fresh oxygen.
We were talking about this earlier, and Claire said, so what, the water makes oxygen, the bottle makes that? How does this work? What is this wizardry? It's the little refillable oxygen thing and your water bottle, and good to go.
That's all it is.
What do you think?
Yeah.
Well, when it says, do you want water and breathable air on the go? Yes, I'll go out. I'll walk along.
I would like to continue breathing.
On this planet where there is breathable air. And if I want a water, I'll take a swig. However, I'm open to conversion, Nick.
That's why I chose it, because it's just so absurd. Like, you know, what do you do when you get out of the house? Did you take your oxygen tank with you?
did the pitch not grab you? I mean, the thing is with the Kickstarter thing, this is a way of crowdfunding.
Yeah.
People put money in, they get a little bit of your idea, and you're able to grow an idea with a crowd of people.
Yes.
There's a video pitch with it.
Yeah.
Did the pitch not? Because the pitch, let me play you the first bit of the pitch.
Okay.
Have you ever wondered how important the oxygen is? Have you ever wondered how important the water is?
Yes.
Have you ever thought about our future?
Have you thought about your DUI bill?
Rapid deforestation and pollution over generations of industrialization over a period of time have reduced the oxygen levels in our atmosphere. High altitude regions and adverse situations like avalanches or natural calamities are not the only place with deficiency of oxygen.
So I heard that and I thought, oh, God, I've got to get me one of these Aquagens.
Tim, I don't know, how have you fallen for it? It goes on and says something like, since time immemorial, far back into the past, as long as life has resembled what we know as life, our ancestors took in oxygen, using it to stay alive. You don't say.
We've just invented breathing. It is...
This is the most rubbish yet.
No, I think I can up myself. Trust me. We're tuning in next week. But yeah, this is just one of those things where you're thinking to yourself, how did you think this was a good idea? That, okay, fine. A water bottle. Wonderful, yes. Everybody needs a water bottle. Mm. But they've got a separate compartment for oxygen canisters you've got to go out and buy.
Yeah.
And each canister has 25 pups of pure, unadulterated oxygen, essentially.
That's return business, you see.
Oh, yeah. They have to. They're not just going to sell you the water bottle and say, like, no, we want to find a way to make money out of this.
Exactly.
So sell you capsules of oxygen is the best way.
Do you know what the problem with you two is?
We have intelligence?
No, you're people who don't need this.
If you're an adventure lover who enjoys mountaineering, yoga, or high-altitude pilgrimage places, or if you're a sports enthusiast who likes hiking, trekking, or cycling, you're at a constant lookout for clean oxygen in the air. On other instances, fatigue, depression, and people with respiratory issues also need enriched and fresh oxygen. If you've ever wished we had a simple solution to tackle such issues with a consumer-friendly product, look no further, because the solution is here. Introducing Aquagen.
See?
To be fair, I can get quite winded walking around the Dubai Mall parking lot, so maybe I should get one of these myself.
You and a lot of other people, because that parking ball is ridiculous. what do you think, Claire? Are you any more towards being committed?
I got totally distracted by page 2 of the notes, which talks about something called CPAP, which I totally misread, and I thought, please tell me they haven't messed up by using that acronym. I looked down and I'm like, well, come on, that must be a joke. No, okay, continuous positive airway pressure therapy. I don't know. I mean, there are spas where you can go, aren't there, Nick, for like oxygen therapy and things like this.
Yeah, and so, oxygen bars where you can just sit and you get a little face mask and everything.
And so, apparently it does give you energy, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, but again, there are... I'm not a medical expert, but I know that there have been studies or people advising saying that you can't have too much of even pure oxygen because it, you know, too much of a good thing actually could harm your body. But this is just a money-making racket, honestly. And what's kind of weird about it is that they're basically charging $40 a bottle for this thing, which gets you 5 refills of oxygen. And they were looking for $75,000 to make this happen. They have 7 days to go to finish this backing, and they've only raised $6,600, thankfully.
So there is
hope. People not falling for it, unlike you, Tim.
There you go. I love the idea of
it. You're just looking for a way to get out of exercising, and you thought that was it.
I think a little blast of oxygen.
I don't think it's going to do what you want it to do.
Apparently, it's very good at clearing your head, pure oxygen. I have it on good authority. But no, I mean, it is nonsense. Look, last little clip, last chance to convince you.
A dual-chamber PET bottle to serve two purposes of storing drinking water and enriched, breathable oxygen separately. With a product which allows you to take up to 25 breaths of enriched oxygen for every refill.
Still a no, isn't it?
No, still a no. Yeah, but let us know on the text line 4001. Would you buy the Aquagen water bottle? Text now or free via the Dubai Eye app as well.
Would you buy air?
Or water?
Yeah, there's a point. Yeah. Water,
I mean, maybe it's one for the future. We've destroyed our planet.
When the smog's just too thick. I mean, well, there are many countries where the smog is an issue, and we know that. Cricketers in Mumbai recently. Mm-hmm. New Delhi recently, for example. Not sure that's going to solve the problem. However, also, if you're a medical professional and you can think of a reason why it might be good, I'd be interested to hear that. Is there anything in it at all?
Yeah.
I don't think there is. CES, the Consumer Electronics Show, on in Vegas, January the 9th to January the 12th. You have been, I guess, covering lots of this.
Yes, lots going on there. Yeah, I've picked a couple of really good topics for this week as well.
Yeah.
Also, he's got an explanation for the naughty robots, which is great because Nick knows why they were badly behaved.
Please phrase that properly. Just saying.
I was going to say, I'm looking forward to that. If you want to know what the wall is in tech terms, we're going to tell you next.
This is Drive Live with Natalie Lindo-Taylor and Tim Elliott.
NLT is away, so Claire Sharrock is here today. We're talking to Nick Rado from Rago Tech Watch Company.
I give up.
I know. Do you know, I was telling Claire about this.
Tech Radar's Nick Rago.
Oh,
I don't understand.
Just because you're so smart.
I've been practicing
Nick,
that.
Anyway, Nick is here and I'm really pleased that he is. So.
Drive Live talks technology.
Nick, something from somewhere is here.
Yeah. We met a bloke downstairs, dragged him in and said, look, tell us about smartphones for 10 minutes. That'll be enough. So look, you've been to CES, haven't you? I didn't realise, I just asked you there. You've been...
Not this year. No, I've been before.
Previously.
It's ridiculous. Like the amount... It's like, think of GTEx, but twice the size of Dubai Mall. So it's mental because everyone wants to get journalists onto their products. They want them to kind of come to their booths and see what the latest tech is. And there's just so much to see and do that it's almost impossible to try and cover it all in one day. Mm. And at the end of the day, when you basically sit on your hotel room, you realize you can't feel your feet. But it's a great time to have your fitness trackers on because you'll easily do like 20 to 30,000 steps.
Okay. So the biggest consumer technology show on earth is in Las Vegas. It's on from the 9th to the 12th for consumers. The press stuff has finished now. So we've got lots of announcements. There have been lots of videos uploaded. There's lots of stuff online. You can read it all. The big one, I think... And Samsung have done an awful lot. There's a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
But the big one really has to be the wall, doesn't it?
Yes. And we're not just talking about something that you use to hold up your house. This is a new sort of innovation from Samsung. It's literally called the wall because it is a 146-inch modular micro LED TV, which is insane. Now, micro LED is something that's very, very new. And it's basically Samsung's way of saying that they have shrunk the traditional LEDs to such a small size wherein they're able to kind of give you the performance of an OLED display, which is super crisp and super bright with good blacks and good colors, but none of the trade-offs. Like, one of the problems with OLED is that it has burn-in issues if you have an image on there for too long. Mm. So Samsung are saying that with micro LED, it's a vast improvement over OLED, but because it's very new tech, it just means that any TVs or any products that are coming out with micro LED is going to be quite expensive.
Yeah.
In that same remit, they haven't revealed the price for the wall, but just imagine a 146-inch screen in your living room is insane. And the actually cool thing about this is because the wall is bezel-less, so it has no borders, it's literally glass to glass, Samsung is saying that you can actually line up or you can connect several walls together to make even bigger screens. So imagine if you had two 146-inch screens side by side, you can pair them together to create one big screen.
So if you had the money, you could... literally have the whole, if you had a big
cover
house,
yeah,
you could cover your whole wall with the wall.
If you wanted to.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow. See, the thing is, you look on the face of this, I think, maybe at an airport, maybe at a big venue, yeah. I can see the benefits.
I mean, commercial displays do this. They have very smaller panels that they pair together to make one big display for outdoor signage and things like that.
Yeah.
But in a consumer space, would you really want to do that?
I'm thinking probably not at the moment, but I suppose in 5 years' time, we'll all be doing it, won't we?
I don't know. I mean, you'd have to have a big room, I guess, to be able to watch a TV that size.
But it's fine, though, because what you could do is say, you know, your kids shout at you, I haven't got a TV in my room. You could say, well, you can have half the wall and your brother can have the other half or something. I'm buying myself a new wall.
Yeah.
Or whatever. But, I mean, the applications are, in simple terms, the fact that you can save quite a lot of space.
Yeah.
It just fits directly on the wall, I suppose. And you've got a nice big screen. It's a bit like having a cinema in your house.
Yeah, and I think for people who, you know, want that kind of clarity, who want that kind of size, who don't necessarily want to get a projector, this is, I think, next best thing, because this is absolutely massive. It has fantastic, just looking at some of the sample images that our team in the US are sending us, it just looks fantastic. What we have to now wait to see is what the price is going to be, because when you have tech that's this new and this big, 146 inches, it's going to come with a hefty, hefty price tag for sure.
You would certainly think so.
What's this other note on it, that it's a smart TV, or is this a different one now, that will learn from itself? It will learn from itself to better understand how to improve upon the 8K content it's showing.
Basically, a lot of the TVs now is they track what users are watching. So based on that, it kind of learns your habits and what you like watching and will then recommend shows. Sort of like how Netflix recommends programs for you automatically. This will be able to span both your cable, your other streaming services like Hulu, Amazon, Netflix, and then recommend various programs across a variety of streaming services to you.
AI in your TV. This is another product that Samsung will launch. It's an 85-inch QLED. It's the first commercial 8K.
Yeah.
So this is a different one.
This is a different TV. This is another one. Bixby, the personal assistant, that's coming to Samsung TVs this year.
This year as well, yeah.
They've got a flip digital whiteboard, so there you go, paperless office people, beware. Smartwatches, controlling everything in your home, new notebooks, new monitors, there's a new AA type.
They've gone large.
Yeah, they've gone large. But they're not the only ones. Like, there's so many different consumer brands that are there at CES, literally throwing products at journalists saying, okay, come and look at all the stuff that we're doing. And Samsung is one of them.
Okay, let's talk about something else, because Claire and I were talking about this earlier. I really like this. For years, we've wanted smaller tech. We've got to a point where we've got quite small tech, but we want it to be smaller. Roll it up, fold it up, whatever it is. You're going to have folding phones at some point that become kind of mini TVs. Mm-hmm. LG have a roll-up TV. So I said this to Claire earlier. I said, they've got a roll-up TV, and she's thinking, why would you roll a TV up into a ball?
No, because I misheard him. I thought he said a rollable TV. And I said, but why would you want it? And he kept explaining. But of course, I was thinking rollable.
Yeah.
And he said, because it's more portable. And I was thinking about you rolling your TV along.
Yeah.
But, with wheels and everything, yeah.
So it kind of rolls up into like a
roll-up.
Yeah, yes. It's a roll-up TV. Yeah. That's a really smart
idea. Yeah, I mean, we've seen Samsung, LG, even Sony in the past have showcased smaller displays that kind of introduce this tech. They haven't actually seen anything that's fully functioning. But this is, you know, I think LG's greatest stunt. It's the LG, it's a rollable OLED TV screen. And it's amazing. The fact that you can basically hide your TV with a flip of a button and rolls down into like this beautiful, sleek container. Mm. And when you need it, it just rolls back up. It's just amazing. It just boggles the mind to see something like that in action. It's fantastic.
It's like those roll-up things that you have at events. You just kind of bring up your little banner. It's a roll-up banner. I mean, it's exactly the same kind of principle.
But better.
A bit more to it.
Yeah.
But better.
That. Yeah.
Incredible.
It's incredible because I think one of the things with TVs is people, you know, I think if you look at the way that TVs have evolved, take Samsung's The Frame, all right, as an example. It is a TV that's designed to very much just go on the wall and look like a piece of art. Mm. So TVs and a lot of electronics are no longer designed to be these black, ugly boxes that just stick out in your living room. They want to integrate with your furniture. They want them to be seamlessly blended with your kind of architectural style, whatever your style and you know, personal preference is. And I think something like this rollable TV basically means that if you don't really want your TV to be the center of attention all the time, you literally just roll it down and you can have a conversation with people or invite them over or whatever. And when you actually want to watch it, then you roll it back up and you're good to go.
Funnily enough, like a projector. See, everything goes retro again.
It does, yeah.
Because you can roll up a projector, can't you?
Screen.
The screen of it, yes. Not the projector itself. True. Oh, Lord. Who's gets something
you
wrong?
You can carry around the projector, depending how big it is.
But you know, you can have the screen off your wall,
screen
can't
up and
you?
Down. Yeah, yeah.
I do want to get Nick's take on these naughty robots, because he's got an explanation for it. We're going to get to...
Again, phrasing.
Yeah, no, it's all right. We're going to get to Alexa and stuff like that. But yesterday, of course, LG had a bit of a debacle, didn't they? Was it yesterday when they were trying to launch
their
home control robot, which is called Cleo. Mm-hmm. No, Chloe.
Yeah.
And Chloe did not behave herself, Nick.
Yeah.
She did
yeah.
not follow 5 of the instructions given to her.
Oh,
and then
dear.
I think the following day, Sony had the same thing with a little robot dog they had. So we were laughing at this. We were saying this is one of two things. It's either we don't have to worry about AI because it's clearly not as clever as we thought,
yeah.
or this is the start of AI taking over the world by ignoring what we tell yeah. it. You have a simpler explanation.
Yes, I do. I hate to burst your AI bubbles there, but two things to keep in mind when you see these robots on display is, one, a lot of them are running preliminary versions of software and hardware, so they haven't quite ironed out other bugs. They've been running for a number of hours, so there could be overheating that's causing hardware to malfunction or software bugs to be introduced, so there's that to take into consideration. And second, a lot of these devices use voice commands, and when you're using them on a noisy show floor, chances are that the microphones aren't going to be able to discern the person's voice from the background noise. So you can't really fault the companies if something goes wrong. Now, if they say, pick up this object, and the robot picks it up and throws it at the person, that's a different story and we should be running for the hills. But I think if they're just ignoring your commands, it just means that it hasn't heard you.
Yeah, possibly. But then there is another thing to that. If you're going to show something that works.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Let's be honest. All right. We're going to look at more from CES in a moment. And fortuitous it is, Dr. Carthy texts in and wants your take on the HTC Vive. Is it Vive?
Vive
Pro.
I'm glad you got something wrong too.
Yeah, thanks very much. That's coming up.
This is Drive Live. Get in touch with the show.
Text us on 4001.
Nick Rago is here from Tech Radar.
Drive Live talks technology.
There you go.
Bet you can't say that 3 times.
I'm not even going to try. Thanks very much. Here's a question for you. Can you get Amazon Prime in the UAE? No name on that, Nick.
Okay, so you can get, if you're talking about Prime for shipping and things like that, yes, you can get Prime products shipped to the UAE. If you put in a UAE address, you can see if it'll be delivered to you. If you're talking about Prime audio and video, yes, you can. You can get it perfectly fine. I've got Prime working. The only thing with Prime Video is that the catalog is still quite limited. So it isn't as massive as, say, the catalog in the UK or the US. But if you sign up for Amazon Prime Video and Music, you can get that working in the UAE just fine.
Okay, so there's the answer. Dr. Carthy texts in your take on the HTC Vive Pro, one of the topics that you wanted to bring up today anyway.
Yeah, I mean, HTC have announced this at CES. It's the HTC Vive Pro. It basically offers you an increased resolution and it's much more comfortable to wear and also features headphones on the side. So you no longer have to worry about plugging an extra pair in and putting it over your head. And it generally improves on the HTC Vive in general, because I think a lot of people were having plenty of fun with the original HTC Vive. And HTC was trying to think of ways to improve it and trying to make it better. So the increased resolution, I think, with dual OLED displays makes the VR a lot more immersive and a lot more clearer. The other thing is software-wise, HTC is basically offering people so that when they put on the Vive and they look at some of the VR sort of experiences on offer, you kind of get an immersive full 360 preview of what that experience is before you launch it or try and purchase it, which is really good. And the other game changer is that there is a new wireless adapter for the HTC Vive, which basically lets you go cable free. Because one of the major issues with the HTC Vive is, like, even though it's a very long cable, it's still a cable that ties you to something. So with this, you can potentially go wireless with your headset, which is absolutely fantastic.
That is good. Yeah. So freedom of movement, finally. Do you know what I liked about this? When you sent the notes through, you said your headline was VR upgrade time. And I'm thinking, where was the VR adoption time? Because I haven't got there yet. Should I be there?
Well, I think for some people who have the space and the money, VR is a great at-home thing to enjoy, because you can look at new sort of VR experiences like movies. Mm. You can look at a lot of VR games, even educational things like that. So there's a lot of cool things that are available on the HTC Vive and the Oculus Rift, PlayStation VR, etc. But it's just a question of space and money. If you've got that to burn, then go ahead. It's a really cool thing to have in your home.
It takes a bit of investment. My husband's got VR, Oculus.
I knew he would, yeah. Does he use it a lot, though?
Yes.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. Stupid question. Do you use it?
No. I have. I've tried it, but I wouldn't spend a long time in it. It is very cool, and there's amazing stuff. But, yeah, I mean, he can spend hours, and he's part of a league in some sort of VR, weird VR sport and all
sorts.
Are
you sure that's what he's doing?
I've had a look, don't worry. pass the headset over.
Well, you can see on the screen what the bus of VR is seeing, so, yeah, he can't hide everything.
All right, then. Okay, so that's VR for the moment. Time to adopt. GoPro, bowing out of the drone market with its first and last drone. That's a shame.
Yeah, I mean, GoPro, for years has been in the market as, an action cam manufacturer. And the fact that they would want to transition or add drones to their portfolio kind of made sense, because you have people now very much investing heavily in drones to follow them around on their, kayaking adventures and mountain climbing and things like that. I know a lot of friends here in Dubai that, do trekking and stuff, or even just driving in the desert. They love having drones filming them. And so GoPro kind of made sense for them to have a drone. But, they've basically just announced that their Karma drone, it'll be their first and last in the drone market, because they want to bring the focus back on action cams, and that's what they do best. So I don't think people really invested in the Karma drone, because there are manufacturers like DJI and Parrot that have sort of better drones in the market already. And so that's what people were buying. So I think that, GoPro they were a bit late to the market with their drones. So they kind of nipped this early on, because rather than trying to then go ahead and make more drones and sort of drag this out longer, they're terminating this as quickly as possible, really.
A case of focusing on what they do best and focusing on one thing. Have we got time to talk about Alexa, who's sort of ruling the roost, as it were, at CES?
Yeah, I mean, I always have time for Alexa. You should always know that. Alexa is in a lot of devices at CES, from fridges to speakers to TVs to soundbars to even the light switch. They all have Alexa built in. So literally, as soon as you come into your front door, even doorbells, you can say, Alexa, turn on the, the bedroom light or whatever. And wherever you are, there'll be an Alexa-enabled device that will be able to hear you and action your commands accordingly. So Alexa is kind of a big deal. And what's really, really fun is that Apple still hasn't released their version, which is the HomePod powered by Siri. And where Amazon is pitching Alexa as the go-to home assistant that'll kind of interface with all your smart devices and help you out in your daily routine, Apple is marketing the HomePod as just a great speaker with Siri built in. So the two are so different from each other. And that's why Alexa is winning the competition at CES with all these smart devices, because it's just so much easier to integrate into all of them, whereas the Apple HomePod just looks like a big bloated speaker.
It does, actually. One question for you, Nick. Is this the year, and I ask you this for a reason, is this the year of the virtual assistant, the Alexas and the like? Because... And I ask you this because my mum and dad have both got smartphones, okay? So whenever I see them, their phone rings. And I always think, that's an unusual ring. And it's because somebody's rung their front doorbell.
Yeah.
Even where, it doesn't matter where they are. This is in Scotland, and their phone is ringing, and they're looking at the person at the front door on their phone. Because so there is kind of a virtual assistant thing going on there. They haven't got as far as Alexa yet.
Yeah.
But is this, do you think, 2018, the year that they really start to take a hold, the idea of the Alexa or whatever else?
I mean... people are already beginning to look at the benefits of having a smart home. So whether you're having a internet-enabled fridge or a TV that can kind of predict what you want to watch next, or you've got Alexa, you know, in various devices, this is the year where people are going to wake up and say, okay, fine, we want to have a couple of smart devices in our homes. Now, if you want a smart bathroom mirror, that's up to you. For me, I wouldn't want that. I wouldn't even want a smart fridge. But if I had like a smart doorbell or smart light fixtures or smart TV, these are things that I think definitely would benefit from Alexa integration. Mm. I think we're going to see in 2018 a flood of white good appliances with Alexa integration, with other even just voice controlled and app driven devices. But I think it'll definitely be the year where more people will be adopting these products, and it'll just kind of become mainstream to have Alexa enabled devices in your home.
There you go. Be afraid.
And see, when Alexa becomes a naughty robot and turns against us, you'll come home and all your freezer stuff will be defrosted, and the washing machine will be on what you didn't want it to do, and the lights will be dark.
Oh, yeah. It'll be like, what was that movie? What was the movie with Julie Christie in the 70s where she gets locked in the house? And
there you go.
Oh, yeah. That
what was, if Alexa turns good. Bad?
Okay. You guys scare me, genuinely.
Scare ourselves. Shirin says, quickly, Polar M600, poor battery life on my iPhone. Is there a workaround?
Shirin, I'll text you back on that.
All right, then. And the best IPTV advice. It will text you back on that as well. That was Drive Live Talks Tech, and it was also Nick Rogo. Nice to see you.
Nice to be here.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcast at DubaiEye1038.com.